The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, and well, we're back, Kingy. Cat fans are, well, they're sort of happy, and then they were a little bit deflated after the Tyson Stengel news during the week, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Oh, Kingy.
Is there anything, actually, have you got a take that we? I'm not going to have to edit out?
Well,
because we don't know, other than that he was
dragged out of a nightclub, unresponsive.
Yeah. Other than that, we don't know what the lead-up was, so we are dealing with some...
Could have hazard a guess at what the lead-up may have been.
But
what do you think happened?
I don't know.
The line of the drink was spiked. Was that from the club? Or how did somebody just add that in, just ad-lib?
Well, because if that was the club line, why would have Patrick Dangerfield said, error in judgment?
Made a big error in judgment. So, I mean, if it was the drink was spiked, we'd be able to ascertain that there'd be a police investigation, surely. There'd be cameras all over that nightclub.
Yep.
That could be out there by now.
Yep.
Yeah, Bob Smith dropped a...
I don't think it was drink was spiked.
If a drink was spiked, I'm still putting some teeth under my pillow in the hope that a lobster gets left be next to my fart sack.
Kids want a bit these days, don't they?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, it used to be a coin in my
day. I used to get 20 cents and I was thrilled. If you drop a fiver now, Junior's out waving and going, where's the rest of it? Terrific.
Yeah, you've got to believe to receive too, by the way.
Absolutely.
It's not great. It's not a great look. For a club that prides itself on optics and how it handles itself.
Did you think Patrick Dangerfield erred in saying this is just an error in judgment?
Well, he's obviously armed with more information than we are, and what he would have been briefed. One of the TV channels was there from 5:30 on Tuesday morning.
Yep.
Ready to stake out. So I would suspect the club's media have gone, hey, Patty, they're there. This is your line of...
But they probably asked other players, did they?
Others would have just...
Given them the armbar.
They would have just kept walking.
Yeah.
Or that's a day you find another entry to the club.
Oh, it's more than an error in judgment. I mean, it's... And particularly off the back of signing a 5-year deal a month prior, or 6 weeks, whatever it was, it's not a great look. I mean, if you believe the rumour mill, Kingy, in the rumour mill in Geelong is quite strong, that this isn't the first time. There's been other incidents last year as well. I was sort of thinking about it, Kingy, and look, I was on this podcast, I said I was happy to move Tyson Stengel on. I think they'd got him off the scrap heap. He'd had an unbelievable season. They won the premiership with him. He showed signs of starting to drift off from the focusness last year.
Yep.
I would have turned that into, and you were saying Cats most likely would have got an end of first round draft pick.
Well, considering they were offering
the deals that were being offered to him.
Yep.
So what the Cats have chosen to do is offer him a 5-year deal. Now, my take on it is that the club have given him the extra year or two, and that has sufficed over more money for a shorter deal elsewhere. He's probably been offered, you know, if you believe anything, I'm just using hypotheticals here, but $800,000 over 3 years elsewhere, as opposed to $650,000 or $600,000 for 5 years. Now, Geelong have gone out on a limb. The three things I reckon you need to do, or you have to have, if you are going to offer a player a 5-year deal in today's climate, is you have to have the performance, which he's got. His best is very good.
Yep.
He's all Australian, so there's no problem there. You need to be marketable. In today's age, you have to be marketable. He's not.
No, he doesn't do any media. Any other player had signed a 5-year deal, they would have been wheeled out in front of the media. His was done after the Essendon win with a very quick interview with the club media, who then put it out on the Sunday morning.
And the other thing you need to be is high character. He's not. So... And he comes with huge baggage. He comes with a litany of off-field issues stretching back for as far as your kingdom come. So I reckon this is going to be really interesting how this plays out. Get your popcorn out over the next 5 years. This could be turn out to be a disastrous deal, particularly the one thing I think that would keep him focused is the team being strong.
Yep.
If Geelong drop off the perch for whatever reason and start to struggle, goodness me, this could be one of the worst deals done in recent times.
But is it just performance, but is also the support the club puts around him as well? I know they can't be holding his hand 24/7.
Well, they did that initially. I mean, at some point, how old is he? He's 25. Stand on your own 2 feet, for crying out loud. If you need the club to hold your hand and you're commanding a multi-million dollar deal, wow, that is a recipe for disaster. He's having a really good year. He's just not. I just don't think he's the sort of personality or has the sort of character to actually see out a 5-year deal with a focus across the 5 years.
All right, Benny, let's leave Tyson Stengel in the rearview mirror for the moment, and we'll circle back with questions a little bit later. What'd you make of the performance down in Tassie on the weekend?
I think the problem you have analysing the Cats, Kingy, is that when we've played pretty good opposition, things have sort of blown up in our face a little bit, yet. And we're sort of robbing Peter to pay Paul in certain areas, you know, putting Tom Stewart in the midfield. And I mean, I know De Koning played down back on the weekend, but he's gone to the ruck and, you know, yada, yada. So we're sort of pinch hitting all over the place, trying to fashion something that works. And then it works against lowly opposition, like North Melbourne. Mm. And then do you get lulled into a false sense, oh, yeah, this is okay, like we did with De Koning? So De Koning, it worked against some bunnies.
Hawthorn.
Yeah, Hawthorn at home, Essendon now, that form's proven to be pretty ordinary. And who's the other one that they beat?
In the three in a row.
Yeah.
Essendon, my Hawthorn, memory's shot. And who did they beat after Hawthorn?
Oh, Collingwood. Yeah. That form's proven to be ordinary as well. So we got away with, De Koning in the ruck's going to work. You come up against the Bulldogs, who are red hot with a good ruckman and good forwards, and you get your pants pulled down. Mm-hmm. We go back to North, so then they change it back. Koning goes back, Blitzarves goes into the ruck. We beat North. Oh, yeah, okay, are things going well? We'll probably beat Adelaide. It won't matter. What sort of position are we? We're probably good enough to beat Adelaide anyway on our merits just at home.
Yeah. Find out more next week in Perth.
Absolutely. But so that the point is it's hard to get a read on the Cats because I think you're getting lulled into a false sense of what is working. The things I did like against North was that I said it, I think, last week. I asked you the question, Tom Stewart is a gun defender, All-Australian defender, but is he just a pedestrian midfielder? He actually played quite well against North. He was more attacking,
yep.
And creative, which is a good thing. If he's going to play in the midfield, that's what he needs to do.
He's a very creative player.
He is, yeah, he is. But I've thought in the midfield he'd just been going, and going for him is still going quite well, but he wasn't being creative. He was just sort of being a bit of a body and getting, you know, he'd get 6 or 7 clearances, but nothing was really creative. It was more just hacking it forward. I thought against North he actually was quite creative, which was good. I thought Busey took his opportunity and played well. You'd be surprised off the back of what he did if he was out of the team.
So where does Tui come back in?
I don't think he does. I don't think he does. Okay, well, I'll ask you this question. Would you rather Jed Buse playing or Zach Tui?
Jed Buse.
Yeah, I agree. I think
we seem to be, look, a lot of people who listen to us think we've got it in for Zach Tui. We don't have it in for Zach Tui.
I love Zach Tui. He's been great, but his time's up. He's gone on 1 year too many.
Yeah. He hasn't been horrible. Well, he hasn't actually been horrible at all. He's actually been pretty solid, to be honest.
Oh, I don't see him as being solid, but I think if you look purely at stats, he's had it 15 times. Yeah, great. He doesn't bring you anything. He gets half his kick-ins from fullback. Yeah, he's played enough to get the ball a bit, but he doesn't. I'd much rather a younger player getting the ball a bit than Zach Tui getting the ball.
But
a bit.
I'd like Buse.
Actually, I thought Busey did quite well. He was attacking when he needed to be, even though he's been around the block in terms of experience. There would have been some pressure to perform.
He's still only 30.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying when you're out of the team that long at his age
and out of contract,
you there's pressure on you to perform, and everybody deals with that differently. And I asked him, did he feel the pressure in terms of going outside of what he needed to do? Because he's never going to be a player that gets it 25 times. No. So he's not measured by that. So did you feel like the pressure to play your role, whether that was getting it 5 times or 20 times? And I thought he actually played quite well.
Do you know how he said he's never going to be a player to get it 25 times? Do you know what his career high is?
It's 25.
No, 24.
Is it? Yeah. But he can be quite attacking. He's quite a powerful player. He's got good speed. He's got good strength. I think that he offers you more than Tui, and Tui's playing a similar position.
Yep.
Ollie Dempsey, I thought that was a really good response to a poor game the previous week. He was fantastic.
Did that win him the Rising Star?
I would have thought so. He's going to win it by default, but he's still going to win it.
Yep.
That's
and,
fine.
Yep. And he's going to have a career that's going to be reflective of
a rising star. He's been the highlight of the year for in terms of the younger players. He was good. And, you know, you were maybe thinking, oh, is he starting to hit the wall after his poor game the week before? And he's anything but hit the wall. He was one of their best. Three goals. How many goals would he have kicked this year, Kingy? Would he have kicked close to 20?
He's averaging a goal a game, I think. Yeah, he is. 19 games, 18 goals.
That's really good going. Yeah. He's got a good tank. The wing, I think, is an absolutely perfect position for a player like him because he's got the tank to get back, help out and defend. He's got good skill, but he can also then go forward and mark the ball, which makes him a bit dangerous. So, and that's the difference where he's got it over players like, I'm thinking, some of the better wingmen, like an Ed Langdon, who doesn't go forward and kick many goals, but he works up and down the ground brilliantly. He's sort of got every base covered, Dempsey, in terms of what you want from a wingman. So I hope they leave him in that position. With Rowan obviously going out this week with concussion, that would free up. It'll be interesting to see. The other one I was going to say was a positive. I thought Ollie Henry found a little bit of form. Got a bit of the ball. Which
18 touches.
Yeah, and it's not all about possessions. He just looked a bit more lively. Early on, he was really crashing packs. He didn't get a whole lot of the ball early, but his effort was first class, and then that effort translated into actually getting the ball and hitting the scoreboard. So I thought he was a positive, and I expect him to play really well this week with no Rowan. I reckon it's just too crowded at the moment for Ollie Henry. Yep. There's too many players like him in the side, and I think as his career develops and he gets more of a license to feel like he owns the forward line, you'll see the best of him. But it was good for him to actually play well. De Koning did quite well in defence, that little stint he had in the ruck. Do you think he plays in defence again this week, Thilthorpe, up forward for Adelaide?
Also, Walker.
Walker
will play further up the ground.
Reckon he plays on Thilthorpe.
Fogarty? Collard Jasny to Fogarty?
Yeah, well, Collard Jasny or Jack Henry. I thought Collard Jasny's probably ideal. Fogarty's 192. I think he's more of a... he's not really a key position forward. He's a good player. But, yeah, I thought Collard Jasny is an absolutely ideal matchup for Fogarty. Yeah. And De Koning on Thilthorpe leave... Mark Blitzarv's in the ruck, helped out by Shannon Neal. Every minute Shannon Neal plays is good for him going forward. He's not getting the ball a lot, but he's getting experience. And I hope they don't drop him out.
Busey to Rochelle or Keys?
Yeah, Keys has been really good for Adelaide.
28 goals.
Absolutely. He's been... Would he nearly be winning their best and fairest? He'd be top three.
He'd be top five. He had a bit of a dip there for a couple.
He's been good. Yeah, he's a good player. He tends to roll up the ground a little bit more for Busey, I reckon. Yeah, Busey to Rochelle. They've got options, the Cats. Zach Guthrie to Keys. Perhaps Zach Guthrie there. I think they've got good options for Adelaide. And in the midfield, Adelaide don't have a dynamic midfield. Their issues are probably similar to the Cats. They lack probably leg speed in the middle. Saligo's jumped up for them and been a good player this year. He's a good player. Laird's just a soldier.
But he seems to get it a lot against Geelong.
He does, but he's not hugely damaging. He gets the ball a lot. He tracks it. They lack the breakaway sort of playmaking midfielder, which is what Geelong don't have as well. Tom Atkins comes back?
Yes.
Yeah. So that'll be handy. I was thinking, Kingy, do you rest Patrick Dangerfield this week?
Why?
Well, I think his best footy has been this year when he's been on the fresher side. Last 2 weeks he had 12 possessions, I think, didn't he, against North?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. They've won by 40 points. He's had 12 touches. Could you fathom Patrick Dangerfield touching the ball 12 times 5 or 6 years ago?
Would you rather play him this week and not put him on the plane to Adelaide?
No, to Adelaide, to Freo.
Oh, sorry, to Perth.
No, I'd take him to Perth. Okay. I'd freshen him up for the trip to Perth.
Okay.
Because I think he's at the stage now where he is best when he is fresher.
First up.
Well, first, second and third up, yeah. Once he's hit fourth and fifth up. I mean, he was very poor against the Bulldogs and he was poor against North Melbourne. Now, they got away with it against North. Their best footy is when in the midfield is when he has played well. I just wonder whether they think they've got enough to win this week with Atkins coming back into the side, give Dangerfield a rest, freshen him up for a real tilt against the Dockers.
Bruin will be better for the run last
week. Yeah, Bruin was quiet last week, but he will be better for the run. And it's just a thought I had that it just seemingly at 34 years of age, towards the back end of the season, you'd hope the Cats have got enough to win at home against Adelaide without Dangerfield, get him set for a big one against the Dockers.
Yep.
Because that'll be...
That's the game that's going to determine. I think the Cats have got to go 4-0 to finish top four. I don't think 3-1 will get it done.
So they'll be fifth then, will they?
Fifth or sixth, yep.
Playing who most likely? Oh, God knows.
Yeah.
So you think 3-1 is not going to... Well, I suppose they're out of the four now, aren't they?
Yep.
But the run home of the teams above them, I haven't forensically analysed it, but are they teams like Brisbane, Sydney seemingly have got injuries now at the wrong time and are struggling a bit?
Yeah, but Sydney are that far in front of Geelong.
Yeah, true.
You're not worried. You're not. Sydney is still probably finishing, although they're two games clear. Yeah, and percentage, and a massive chunk of percentage.
Mm. Like Sydney, I'm not saying we're going to overtake Sydney, but does anybody have Sydney, to play Sydney? Like Sydney plays Collingwood.
Sydney goes to Adelaide to play Port.
Yeah, that's a big game. And that's a real big game.
Then they've got Collingwood in Sydney. Then they've got the Bombers at Marvel.
Yeah, well, that's not easy.
They might be playing for their life, and then Adelaide in the final round.
Yeah, they'll win that.
Brisbane to finish have St Kilda at Docklands.
Yeah, well, that's not easy. St Kilda are sort of finding their feet a little bit.
The Giants in Brisbane.
That's a massive game.
Collingwood at the MCG.
That's a big game.
And then the Bombers go to Brisbane in the final round.
Yeah, well, that's not... Well, they'd win that, but that's not an easy run.
Frio, I've got the Bombers this weekend.
That's in Melbourne.
Yep.
The Bombers are under heat, so they're going to come out firing, whether they're good enough.
Which Essendon turns up.
Yeah. But that's not a... Frio, I've actually had the wood on Essendon, I reckon. They've pants them the last few times, but that's with their backs to the wall, that's not an easy game.
Frio then hosts the Cats, then go to Sydney to play the Giants.
Yeah, well, that's horrendous.
Yep, and then host Port Adelaide in the final round.
Yeah, big. Geelong have got the easiest run of that.
They do. And the other club you want to have a look at is probably Carlton and their run home, who've got Collingwood.
Yeah, Pendlebury's 400.
Then the Blues have got Hawthorn.
Not easy.
That's a big game, actually, because that's probably going to determine the Hawks.
Yeah. So they're flying, the Hawks.
And they've got to go to Perth to play the Eagles.
Yeah, they'll win that.
And they finish with St Kilda.
Yeah, that...
At Docklands.
Yeah, well, they should win that. They should be winning that.
And the Giants have got Hawthorn in Canberra.
Yeah, well, that's not easy, but they'll probably win that.
Brisbane in Brisbane.
That's not easy.
Fremantle at home.
That's not easy.
And then the Bulldogs in Ballarat.
Yeah, well, that's a tough run.
They might actually go winless.
That's a real tough run.
Yeah. So
the Cats have got the best run of all those teams.
And then Port Adelaide's the other club you need to look at because they're equal on points. I haven't factored the Doggies in, who are a game behind. Port have obviously hosting Sydney. Then they come to the MCG to play Melbourne, host Adelaide in a showdown, which can go either way, flip of the coin arrangement, and final round have to go to Perth.
To play Freo.
Freo.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be writing the Cats completely off. If they go 3-1, they might be there.
So that would get them to 15-8?
Yeah.
Oh, that's probably fair for top four.
Yeah.
You'd probably be a bit, you'd actually feel a bit stiff.
That'd be huge. That'd be an unbelievable season, I reckon, for the Cats.
15-8.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, incredible.
So they need to bolster up. I did hear a little rumour, Kingy, too.
Mm.
So Jamari Ugal-Hagan is, for whatever reason, has been a bit homeless of late. I forget the exact story, whether something's being renovated or he's changing houses or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's been having to have somewhere to stay. So he's been living with Bailey Smith's parents.
Right.
And if you believe...
In Bellbrae?
No, not in Bellbrae. I don't know where they live. If you believe the rumours that Bailey Smith is
Geelong bound.
Yeah.
Jake Waterman's name got raised by the paper over in the West.
For the Cats?
Yeah.
Why would they get Jake Waterman when they got Ollie Henry? They've just re-signed Stengel. Waterman's not a key forward. He's a mid-sized sort of, I don't know, flanker.
Mm.
They've already got Cameron. I know Cameron's coming towards the end, but he's still got a few years left.
Yep.
And you've got Henry, Stengel, you've got Myers. I know he's not a marking forward, but seemingly they've got plenty up forward, the Cats. Why would they be trying to get another one?
I'm not sure. How
isn't Melbourne trying to get him?
Howler 41, Tyson Stengel is a real magician, David Copperfield style. Dempsey not far behind. Defence looked much better with SDK down back, taking pressure off Jack Henry, who was very good. Thought Neil competed well against old Cherry Pie. I'd like to see more of him at centre bounces.
Yeah, I agree with all that. That was one of Jack Henry's best games for the year. It was another positive I should have mentioned earlier. He was really good. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Kingy last week that the byproduct of playing players out of position means that players who have played a certain type of role have to then step up and play a different sort of role. Now, that the biggest beneficiary is not the right word because it wasn't of a benefit to him, but the person that impacted the most was Jack Henry, with Conan coming out of defence, because suddenly Jack Henry was expected to play full back on blokes that he just doesn't have the dimensions to play on. So is it no surprise that DeConey comes back into defence? Jack Henry then goes back to the role that he has been playing and plays the best game of the year.
Yeah, Henry has been good, though, since half-time of the Essendon game.
He's been all right. He's been okay.
I think he was very
Bulldogs,
good.
He got his pants pulled down.
He's very good against Hawthorn.
Yeah, well, they got no forwards.
And he was very good against Collingwood.
Yeah, but they got, as I said to you, this is where you get lulled. They had zero forwards. Both those teams had no forwards on the two times that they played them. Kel Shadir wasn't playing against the Hawks. I mentioned this before. Collingwood had me and you playing up forward. They didn't have anyone. So we get lulled into thinking this is going okay. Bulldogs, he struggled. Essendon, he struggled. Carlton, he struggled. The games when it counted against good teams, he struggled in defence, because he was asked to play a role that he's not really equipped to play. He could go and play for a quarter or a half, but if you expect him to play that week in, week out, I think you're asking for trouble. And he's played well when De Koning's come back to defence.
Discussed last week was Ruckman for next year. Laddams, 26 from the Swans behind Grundy, led Swans for clearances until injured in round 9, 2023. Pitnett, a physical type. Well, I think Pitnett has re-signed, maybe. Bailey Williams from the Eagles, 24 and 68 games from Victoria. A potential option draft picks moving forward. A 13, 33, 52 and Lemon Chicken, 69. So if we're getting Bailey Smith, might need to trade a few out. Crows have Walker, Phil Fogarty and maybe HMAS Himmelberg. So SDK stays in defence. Closey, possibly a full game, will look to be Nevitt or Jai Clark to return. Atkins, if fit. Atkins will play. Also, Joe Furphy, the Cat B rookie, is a left footer, and we love a Furphy. Yeah, he won't be playing senior footy anytime soon. It'll be interesting to see what they... I don't know whether anybody out of the VFL will be getting an instant recall unless there's mass changes. And the VFL have actually got this weekend off.
So do you think that this week could just be Rowan out and Atkins in?
Yep.
That'd be the only change. And we'll see what happens with Stengel.
Yeah,
potentially. The space with Stengel.
Just talking about injuries too, the Cats, obviously, you know, they control the narrative with their injuries, but when they put out their injury report, they buried the lead. The lead was that Cam Guthrie, who has oscillated between 3 weeks.
Oh, that's a good word.
You like that? Yeah. Oscillated between 3 weeks and to be confirmed, is now to be confirmed. If he's TBC, he's not playing again in the home and away season, and then you're not bringing him in for a final, surely.
God, no.
For only what would be his fourth game of the year.
Disappointing. 2 years out, he'd have 1 year left. Yep. And you'd have to question whether what sort of form he could find in that year, because after you've had that long out, it generally takes you a year to find your feet, and he's not going to return, I wouldn't have thought, as a 34-year-old if he's had an in-and-out year next year. And I mean, look, he's been a great player, Cam Guthrie. It just goes to show, you know, how delicate and fragile your career can be. I mean, he was flying off the back of 2022, wins the best and fairest in a premiership year. Suddenly, a year and a half later, we're questioning how often we'll see him again, and you know that the time is almost nigh for him, and it's pretty sad. You just got to make the most of what you've got. And he was amazing, Cam Guthrie, really good player, good fella, and yeah, I mean, look, let's hope he can get back, but he's up against it at his age, trying to come back from 2 years out.
Yeah, disappointing that he is sidelined. Fox Dog 50, gents, as per our discussion last week on what Ruckman could be available for pickup. Pete Laddams, Liam Reedy from Fremantle, 24-year-old and on a rookie contract, 204 centimetres stuck behind Darcy and Jackson. Yeah. The Formula One driver, Dante Visentini from Port Adelaide.
Well, there's got to be plenty of options for the Cats in terms of not... And do you know what? I thought it was a bit odd that I asked Andrew Mackey the question, and he basically alluded to the fact that the Cats didn't secure up because of dollars. Now, I find that a bit odd in that some of these players, I wasn't ever suggesting Geelong go and get a Grundy or a Oscar McInerney or lure a star. It was more about just getting somebody who has a few runs on the board, who's a mature body, who can come in and shoulder the load. They're not going to be a star, but they're going to be a presence. A physical presence, like an Ivan Soldo, that style of player.
Yep.
But Andrew Mackey suggested that it was dollars is the reason why, which I find that a bit odd. But they do need to find one. That's their priority, along with the midfield, is to find a second string ruckman from somewhere they can get relatively cheaply, offer them a couple of years, allow Conway. I mean, we've got Stanley and Conway. They want to manage Conway, yet he's as second ruckman. Is that bizarre? Do you think that's... And now he's obviously out for the year. I mean, you've got to... You're now starting to question Toby Conway's ability to see out footy seasons.
Yeah, whether he's actually got any durability about him.
Absolutely.
Yep. Catters 28, eagerly waiting discussion regarding the bizarre Stengel incident. We did discuss it earlier. Do you think anything would have changed if this happened before he re-signed?
Yeah, you would have probably, if you were the Cats, you would have whipped one of the zeros off.
Or a year off.
Yeah. I reckon this is the first time the Cats have really gone out on a limb with a contract, and it's going to be really interesting to see what unfolds, because it could become a real noose around their neck down the track.
Cattery 2007, I've been banging the drum about the quality of our youth and the serious underrating of our talent by the general media. Against North, we had 6 players, 21 or younger, so did the Roos. We had more under 21 in the wet slog against the Doggies and our competitors in most games this season. I can't remember a time when we had so much talented youth in and around our best 22. Neil, Ollie Henry, Ollie Dempsey, Holmes, Humphrey, Closey, out of the team, Nevitt and Clark. Can you remember a time in the past decade or more when we had so much youth genuinely pressing for selection? You've probably got to go back to 2002.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Geez, you remember back that far.
Well, that's the Johnson, you know.
Gary Ablett, Jimmy Vartel, Paul Chapman, all that crew.
Yep.
Geez, they turned out all right.
It's
hard to compare to eras. Geelong have got some good young players.
And we don't know how they're going to turn out.
I think the jury, it's very difficult. I don't want to get ahead of yourself in terms of judging where they might be. I think Ollie Dempsey has shown this year that he can be a very good player, and he's done it over a period of 4 months, which is really pleasing. I think Jai Clark can be a good player. Tanner Brew and Ollie Henry have got some runs on the board now. I know Ollie Henry's had a little form slump, but every player has those. Bruin will be a good player, so there's another two good players there. Shannon Neal, we like Shannon Neal. I want to see him play more senior footy. I wouldn't be prepared to say just yet which way his career is going to go. Mm. He's unbelievably athletic, which we get seduced by, King. You've ever been seduced by athleticism?
Liver Danky, I'm enjoying the music that gets played at VMHPA after a Geelong player kicks a goal. Sorry, I can't agree. I can't see how that adds to the experience. It actually...
As a
broadcaster, it's a dead set nightmare, because it actually penetrates through our broadcast. And I hate it. I legitimately hate it, to the point that it will be raised by us as a broadcaster with the AFL and the Cats to say, guys, turn it down. It doesn't need to be that loud. It doesn't need to be there. And people listen to this and go, oh, you're being old fuddy-duddy and stuff like that.
A fuddy-duddy. You ever been a fuddy-duddy?
Well, right now people think I am.
If I want to go to see music, I'll go to a concert. Yep. I want to go to the footy.
Yep. Is there a story behind any of the songs? I have absolutely no idea. Particularly enjoy when the Irish music is played. Love the pod, guys, and religiously listen to your call. I actually don't mind the when Tui or O'Connor or whoever kicks it, the Irish guys kick a goal, the little bit of the river dance or whatever it is they play.
Sorry. No, I'm going down the fuddy-duddy line. I don't like any of it. I buy tickets to a concert to go and see music. Drinking it halfway through, they start showing highlights of the 22 grand final in the middle of a concert.
They should.
Because you'd say, no, I don't want to, I'm here to listen to the music. I don't want to see the footy. So,
yeah, but it's all started in America at the basketball. Fan experience.
Yeah, they don't do it in the NFL.
No.
They'd get howled.
Mm. Congrats to the gold medal winning broadcast team in the K-Rock box, Daz Broncos, with a bit of Olympic. Are we allowed to say that? Saw this mentioned by another station's Twitter account. Geelong have the second most under-23s performing 10% above expected performance level, for whatever that's worth. Pretty incredible considering Gold Coast and Essendon are once again mired in mediocrity and floundering, with coaches left scratching their heads, and they've been in the winning finals wilderness for over a decade. Meanwhile, we are in two years removed from a flag. Rebuild on the run is well in play. Benny referred to it in the pregame last week. The stability of the club, both on and off the field, to be able to do this is the cornerstone, in my opinion. Two coaches since Gary Ayres.
Did I read that Essendon have only debuted two players this year?
Oh, I don't know, but it might be right.
Oh, yep. I think I read that.
Caddy would be one.
Oh, he's going to be a good player.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm happy with him. Yeah, I think I read that they'd only debuted two players. I might be wrong. It wasn't many anyway. That's the gist. And, look, the Cats have been able to debut well, bring in some younger players. You know, get some more games into. Disappointing that Conway's not involved in that evolution this year. Let's hope that the only hope for him is that time out gives his body, a bit like a racehorse, a young staying horse, you give it time out to sort of furnish and mature physically. Yeah. It might give him a chance to work on his body a bit and get himself to a point where he can handle the rigours of an AFL season, because at this point, unfortunately, there'd be question marks on that.
Which two of the under-23s do you think have will be the most critical to our continued performance? I have Conway, if fit, and Neil.
Under-23s?
Yep.
Well, Sam De Koning.
Yep.
Is the key.
De Koning and Neil.
At full back.
Yeah, and Neil at key forward.
And I'd say the other one that who hasn't been playing because he's only young, but the development of Connor O'Sullivan will be key over the coming years. Because if he could be a good player, if he could be a very good player, and you've got De Koning and O'Sullivan as key defenders, you're going well, very, very well.
P.S. Closey, full game this week. He won't be the sub again. They usually don't run them for that long. My third nipple, interested on your thoughts on Chris Scott's future coaching aspirations. Does he stay or does he go at the end of 2026? Does he even see out his contract? At a guess, Tassie/AFL would throw a bucket of money at him, along with a number of clubs. Also interested in seeing how the Cats handle the last round of the year against West Coast. Obviously, they'd love to give Hawkins a big send-off at home. Surely he retires at the end of the season. My question and interest is what happens in our first final, assuming we make it. Does Hawkins play? Surely we can't go in with Cameron, Hawk and Neil. So no, just back on Chris Scott. Chris Scott will see out his contract, but I suspect he'll be very much... Whoever coaches Tassie, if they're coming in 2028, whoever's coaching them will take charge of them in 27 to prepare for 28.
Yeah.
They won't be coming from another club to coach Tassie in 28.
Do you think Chris Scott will want to do that?
Don't know.
Coach a team in 27...
Have a year off in 27 and then coach in 28. I reckon I'll tell you something. I reckon Chris Scott won't coach another club. When he's done at Geelong, that'll be it. Will Hawkins play in a qualifying final?
Geez, that's a good question. Final? We've discussed this before, Kingy. I don't know. The fact that we don't know is probably the area of concern. I wouldn't say for sure. I mean, sentiment would be with Tom Hawkins.
Sentiment doesn't win finals, Ben.
No, that's right. There would be a very difficult decision to go down that track, given that when he went out, they were struggling. Now, he's not the only reason they were struggling, but he wasn't in great form. He wasn't kicking goals. His opponent was having an influence going the other way. It's a very big call. I'm glad I'm not making it, but it would probably also depend on how Shannon Neal is playing. If Shannon Neal sort of starts playing a little bit better than he is and getting a little bit more of the ball and offering a little bit, or starts providing something in the ruck, because Tommy's going to play up forward and that's it. Neal has a little bit of variety to his game. If he was to start to influence and take a few marks around the ground and be a force in the ruck, that would make it an even tougher decision then to put Tom Hawkins in, because I don't think they're going to play Neal as a number one ruckman and then play. They're going to play him as a forward being able to pinch hit in the ruck, and if he's able to have an impact pinch hitting in the ruck, it makes the decision even tougher. I don't know. Watch this space. I think there's so many things involved. And moving parts to that, it'll all play out in the lead up. But I wouldn't be just locking Tom Hawkins into play, which is where it's at, given how good he's been for so long with the Cats.
Andrew Daly off the KFC X. Where can we find a ruckman that would be the equivalent to Ogre from the Alpha Betas? Don't want to see the boys limping to finals like Lamar's javelin throw. We need to attack the next 4 weeks like Tackleberry on the shooting range and cut loose.
Ogre.
Simon Quinn, the possible forward line giving me tingles. Scratcher, Waterman and the Mosquito Fleet should be the generational force. Any update on Smith, he'd be great in the 2 or the 22. Is there any truth that Jamar was seen house hunting in Minnesota recently? I don't think the Waterman stuff is interesting. Like it's been reported in the West, but not any traction here.
Melbourne are trying to lure Melbourne Footy Club, not someone in Melbourne. The Melbourne Footy Club are trying to lure Waterman. I don't see where he would fit in at the Cats, in fairness, but anyway. Jamar Chase he's talking about there.
From?
From Cincinnati. Yep. He's having a hold-in.
Going to the Vikings.
This is where NFL's at. No, he's signed at the Bengals for the, he has to play the Bengals the next 2 years, but he's having a hold-in.
What's a hold-in?
So he's in training camp.
Yep.
Right. They've started training camp.
So he just started, yes.
Yeah, he's in there, but he's not practicing. So he's there, he's out on the field, but he won't practice. So he's having, they call it a hold-in. Okay. So he wants a new deal.
What is the state of the TPP? You would guess coming into 24 with half the list unsigned and 11 over 30 would be healthy, although re-signing a few younger players. Cats not in the convo with clubs like Dons and Saints when reports of clubs with war chests at their disposal. They're down to about 15 to re-sign. I know
who's heading that list?
Jack Henry.
Well, he's not going anywhere, is he?
Jake
Did he leave Geelong to get away from his brother? No.
Jake Collegeasney hasn't re-signed yet.
Yeah, well, I'd like
then
to see.
It's a lot of the older crew.
Who the club would be waiting till the year's end, wouldn't they?
Dangerfield, Duncan, Stanley.
Well, Dangerfield will play on. Duncan will be 50-50.
Duncan's going to end the year on about 297.
Stanley will be gone.
Tui
gone.
Jed Buse.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one.
And then you got a bunch.
I mean, they've played him once this year, so if you're going on probability, you'd have to say that he's no certainty. But if he was to play at the back end of this year really well, then probably that's what will decide his future, how he plays the remainder of the year, if indeed he stays in the senior.
Rowan?
Yeah, I don't know. You can't
let too many go at once.
No, that's right. That's probably it might keep Rowan in. I argue that Rowan, yeah, look, he's good when he's good. He doesn't impact the game enough. Like, he does impact the games, just not enough. And I think it is cramping the style a little bit of an Ollie Henry. So, but you're right, Kingy, they're not going to let them all go, so maybe he gets one more year.
There's a lot of younger guys. Oscar Murdoch, I suspect, probably will struggle. Phoenix Foster. James Willis is an interesting one.
What you talking about, Willis?
Emerson Jecker came in for a year as a
great
rookie.
Great name, that.
Closey, I think, is out of contract, but probably getting an opportunity now means he'll...
Yeah, they'd be looking to probably re-sign him if they're playing in
and
a senior.
And he can go as a rookie again for another year.
Yeah, so that means there's not a lot of Bugs Bunny involved, Kingy. Yeah. So there's really not a lot there, Kingy, is there, in terms of sort of media fodder in terms of...
Nah, Collegeasney is the interesting one. My understanding is that there's not a lot of movement there, like as in like the talks have barely taken place.
Yeah, well, that's a bit weird.
Yeah, which surprises me. Now, coming up on 200 games too, Collie.
Yeah, you don't want to lose him. He's been a... Not everyone's cup of tea, but he's been a pretty good foot soldier for the Cats.
Troy, is Duncan Dunn was one of my all-time favourites, but has definitely lost a step and can't kick it from distance like he once could.
Yeah.
Do you think he's still in the best 22? Is Neil going to be a superstar? I think he might. First on Duncan, I think Duncan will play on. He'll have the choice. The club will say to him, what do you want to do?
And he'll want to play.
And I think he should be given the opportunity to get to 300.
You just said before, though, there's no such thing as sentiment in footy. So you'd be having 50 cents each way because you're saying he should get to 300 because that'd be more sentimental potentially.
No, it's not a sentiment thing. I just think he should be given the opportunity to get to 300. It's not. That's not about sentiment. I think he's actually playing good enough footy to go again.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he's holding his spot in the team, that's going to potentially finish with a double chance.
I wouldn't sort of pencil that in. I think it's worth a discussion at the very least. I do agree with you to a point, but I think it's worth a discussion.
Yeah, and they'll have that.
And he might have to.
Yep. Damien Tedesco, Kingy and Cass.
Mr. Tedesco.
Quick review on 4 points. Kingy, any more news on Tyson you can give us? Well, no. Boys, what do you think of Zach Guthrie as our next skipper? Just think he's as solid as a rock and only getting better. Thorpe Hughes did a great job coming back and should hold his spot. Yeah, the next captain for Geelong is interesting because Dangerfield will play on. Will he play on as captain? Or does he hand it over for Tom Stewart to see out his career as captain?
I don't think so. I reckon he plays as captain next year. And
Tanner Bruin will be captain in Geelong eventually.
I think he might too. Just the little bits I've seen. Which is only little bits. But, yeah, he seems an upstanding member. He's a hard worker. Shows the way a little bit. Zach Guthrie,
an incredible story.
Would be. It's probably a left field one, but it's not the silliest suggestion on the planet. Does he have the... I mean, we don't know what they're like behind in terms of their interaction with their teammates, but yeah, look, he's a really solid citizen, Zach Guthrie, and
just turned 26.
Yeah, he could certainly be a vice captain or in the leadership group. I don't know if they don't have a leadership group, do they?
No, it's just two.
So he could certainly have a leadership position, whether or not that is captain. But certainly worth the discussion. And the fact we're not sort of dismissing it, you know, just offhand, gives you an idea of where he's, how far he's come.
Just, he's played 60 consecutive games.
Yeah, he's rock solid.
Yep. Grant Bench, a good win considering we got jumped by the Roos and then we steadied to get the win. Impressed by Dempsey, who must surely be the rising star. Do you agree?
Yep.
Yep, that's going to be confirmed.
Absolutely. And that confirmed it on the weekend with that. What did he have, 20 possessions or something, 3 goals?
Yep.
Something along those lines.
Chris Quinett, great to see DK back in defence. The sphincter has finally loosened. First time Scotty's let go of his ego.
Yes.
Wanted to get your thoughts on who is close to my favourite player, Zach Guthrie. Acts like he wouldn't hurt a fly off the field, but is then so competitive on it.
Yes, good point. And good point about Chris Scotty. He had to relent. He had to do something off the back of the Bulldogs game. They were just too short-handed down back. And can Blitzarv see out in the ruck? Could he be a factor in the ruck? Will that get him back to his best form? Because he's had a... How would you describe Blitzarv's year?
Middling.
Yeah. I think he's been okay. Just okay. That would be my summation. He's had a couple of good games, but he's had a lot of games where he has very little impact. And I always argue that he's not really a playmaking midfielder. And I've said this 1,000 times, he's not capable of stepping up and being that frontline player, which is fine. That's him. That's not a knock. That's just where he's at. Maybe going into the ruck allows him to have more of an impact, given he's got a ruck role rather than a midfield role.
Premier's good head on the weekend, Ruth challenge, but Cats did the job. Any thoughts on Waterman and Riley Garcia being linked to the Cats?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've heard anything about Waterman. But as I said, I'm not sure why. I don't know. I can't see the link there. But Garcia, yeah, well, he's a sort of, he's a little wingman, half forward type, smallish player. He goes okay. Yeah. And he's a player that's on the up, I think. He's not on the down. So if you've got another foot soldier there, maybe.
Marky Mark the Lamp, any news on Charlie Lazaro? Not in North's best 22, out of contract. Bet his mates Tanner and Ollie would love to have him in the hoops.
Yeah, probably. I just think that we've got too many like him.
Yeah.
They've already got those sort of players. They're the players that they don't want. They actually want somebody that's more creative, more explosive. They've got that sort of foot soldier, for want of a better term. They've got enough of those.
You're going to love this. Nuffy from Corio. Is there a probation period on Tyson's contract? I'm glad Benny goes to the Lyric and not Bloom. Stewie Harrison used to kick Benny out for wearing jeans and joggers. Nuff said. Cheers, Nuff.
No, well, the Bloom, that I used to get Macca's there.
Yeah.
That was Macca's.
And it was, and before that, it was a penny joint, wasn't it? It was like a games arcade.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Back in the
early days. But I used to launch down there and get some Macca's after you've trundled out of sort of home house arrangement. It was usually very, very late, Kingy.
Mitch Hawley, does Dartmoor's finest Jeremy Cameron need to pop down to Kerr's Hire in 3 locations to see Jerome and pick up a Vaca Noisen laser level just to align himself with shots on goal?
Yeah, we say this all the time, he gets too close to the man on the mark. He doesn't really have great momentum with his kicking and he can have bad days. I just wish he'd go back another 3 or 4 metres. He just, I don't know, it seems quite simple from where we sit, Kingy. Maybe it's more complicated than we're giving it credit for, but yeah, he can be hit and miss.
20 or 21, kicked 39-16, 2022, 65-37, 2023, 53-34, this year, 39-31.
Pretty good, but he just, those simple set shots where he can't snap, because he's not on an angle great enough to snap, he can fluff his lines a bit. And it's all, I reckon, because he gets too close to the man on the mark.
3 o'clock Saturday.
Yes.
For Cats and the Crows.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Tom.
Jared Griffin's going to join us from the Stadium Trust.
Oh, God, he'd be happy with the surface.
We're going to be talking about that.
Old Pete Griffin.
Yep. You can talk about the helicopter coming in.
Yeah.
And drying out the surface.
Is that what happened?
Yep. Flights over the waterfront.
Did it have anyone in it?
The pilot.
Other than the pilot?
No, just the pilot.
That was the greatest gag of all time when we went to America and got in the chopper to go over the Grand Canyon.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah. But the old time-honored gag, and the guy pulled it off.
Yeah.
He goes, hands up if it's your first time in a helicopter. So everyone had their hand up and the pilot's got his hand up.
Kerr's Hire. Local for 40 years.